Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, October 18th. Recording a day earlier due to some scheduling stuff tomorrow. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about that I'm looking forward to. Third Saturday in October coming up. A lot of great college football from last week. Some football, some European soccer to talk about as well. Really probably just soccer in general. NBA's tipping off in a week or two as well. So, a lot going on. I think today's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, October, probably best sports month.
We also have baseball, which we're watching. I don't know how I forgot that because we're literally watching baseball right now as well.
A lot going on. For me, the only time I'm watching baseball
is the playoffs.
It's playoffs.
Especially with the Phillies in it.
Right. Well, we've talked about this, but there's no sport where the regular season matters less than baseball.
Well, yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit, but the Orioles going, you know, for years wandering in the desert, they finally break through and then they're out in 3 days. It's just brutal. Dodgers have won the division, I think it's like 13 out of 14 years. One World Series to show for it.
Yeah, not ideal.
Absolutely brutal, but excited for Texas is losing, but they're up 2-0 in this game. Texas Rangers, that's the coolest name, at least in baseball.
I mean, it's certainly the best mascot to go with the team.
The historical context.
For sure, yeah. I mean, Philadelphia Eagles is pretty good with all the Constitution and stuff.
New England Patriots, same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think an Eagle is cooler than a Patriot.
Yeah, I think it's the same idea, though.
Yeah, shout out to Providence Hall, the school I teach at, where the Patriots. But I mean, it's the same idea, but I'm an Eagles guy. Ben Franklin was from Philly, you know, so.
Was he, like, actually from Philly, not from England?
That's my understanding, yeah. No, I think almost all those guys were born in the United States.
That makes sense, actually.
Hamilton was born in the Caribbean. The specific island escapes me.
Really? I still haven't. Altuve just hit a home run. Well, it's looking like Houston's going to go 2-1. Tie it up. Or not tie it up, but come back by a game.
Yeah. It's okay.
Philadelphia is crazy loud.
Yes. Yeah, it's nuts.
That place was going berserk yesterday, and they're up 2-0 on the Phillies.
Well, I mean, good.
Or the Diamondbacks.
It was a fun game yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're a Phillies fan, anyway, a lot of fun.
Again, we talked about this last week. We're not going to talk about baseball that much. But has anyone besides LeBron James lived up to hype as much as Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly can't think of anybody.
I can't think of anybody either. Good for those guys. Now, there was a Euro qualifying. We'll jump to soccer. And then I think it's mostly going to be football. But we'll kind of wander here in and out. But there's something in European qualifiers that I thought, I don't think I've ever seen before, so I wanted to talk about here. So, just a recap. So, World Cup's every 4 years, obviously. And then, in between those 4 years, continents have their own tournament. So, for Europe, it's called the Euros. South America is called the Copa America. The United States, it's the Gold Cup. They kind of have, like, a few. CONCACAF is kind of dumb.
Yeah, no, Gold Cup is the... Is kind of the is supposed to be the biggest one. That's the one that CONCACAF wants to be the biggest.
That's the one that we benched our studs for, though, which made me mad.
Yeah.
And we won the one that was like a month before. CONCACAF had two tournaments like a month apart.
Yeah,
last summer.
It was weird.
But anyway, so Europe, that's a big one, obviously, because it's in Europe. And Ireland is in a situation. They're in a group with France, Greece, the Netherlands, Republic of Ireland, and Gibraltar, who I didn't know was a country, if I'm being completely honest with you. Ireland's in a situation where if they play the Netherlands, if they win, that will take points away from the Netherlands and put, I don't even know like who would get through in that scenario, but it wouldn't be Ireland. But if the Republic of Ireland loses, then the point situation would create a playoff. So basically Ireland's in a situation where if they win, they're almost for sure eliminated. And if they lose, they'll go to a playoff, which would therefore give them a chance to qualify.
Yeah. Now, you can call me old fashioned. Perhaps I am. But I feel like the I feel like tiebreaker should be between the teams that are tied. I don't know that we ought to go throwing in other teams per se. But that's just me. You know?
Yeah.
So whoever designed this tiebreaker, I don't totally understand it. But yeah, what a weird...
Because Greece has... So France is atop the group. Greece has 12 points. Netherlands has 9. So if the Netherlands win, that's what would create the tiebreaker that Ireland's involved somehow with only one win over, I'm assuming, Gibraltar. And then if Ireland loses, or if they win, then Greece would just go through. And Netherlands would be out.
Yeah. Well,
I'm reading the table right.
It looks like from what I'm seeing that that game already happened. Is that possible? And that Ireland lost, which is what they needed to do?
Did it already happen?
That is what the UEFA.com says.
That would make sense. So does it say anything about a playoff? No. Information here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just looking at the table, so I don't know when they'll schedule that.
Well, that's fun, I guess. Good for Ireland losing and possibly going to a playoff. Now, that's one thing on the top five we'll have to do is international soccer tournaments, like ranking those.
Sure.
We got a good top five this week.
Now, how do you feel about a team intentionally losing in that scenario? Because one thing that really, really frustrates me as a soccer fan is when two teams will intentionally tie because they both get to go through. I feel like this is entirely different, where if you win, you are eliminated, and if you lose, then you have a chance to go through.
Right, but you kind of have to, right? You know what I mean?
You have to lose?
Yeah, like what do you get out of winning?
Right, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So whoever designed this clearly did something wrong.
I've never even thought of that as a possibility, where that would make any sense.
Right, no, it shouldn't, because with the tie thing, it's like, it's annoying, but you can't design a tiebreaker so that it fixes that problem, right?
Right.
This, there's something they ought to be able to do. Like, do a PK shootout between Greece and the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Which would be fun to watch. How much do you think you'd pay for tickets to not a soccer game, but just a penalty shootout? And then the winner goes to the Euros.
So, 10 minutes tops?
Tops. Absolute tops.
In a vacuum, I would pay quite a bit of money. The travel and the parking and stuff just for 10 minutes of action might deter me a little bit.
Right.
But if I was you pay $100, there's no hassle. Or winner goes to the Euro, so it's literally Netherlands, that's Greece
it's,
scenario.
It's Netherlands, Greece, winner is in the Euros.
And, again, not counting for the travel or the hassle or anything, I'd probably pay $500 at least.
$500?
To go to the Euro? Think how intense that would be.
It would be very intense. Yeah, I would love to watch the warm-ups, the trash talk. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Because tickets to the Euros, I would assume it's more than $500, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, it depends what round and what seat you're going
to
be in.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because also, I wouldn't want to sit at the very back top row on the side away from the goal where the penalties are happening.
Yeah,
anyways.
No, for a penalty shootout, that would suck.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with you. I think it matters. If they were doing it at Rio Tinto, I would be inclined to pay a pretty good amount of money.
Because you're getting a good...
Yeah, if they were doing it at, if it was in Colorado, I had to go to Colorado or something, I would be like, no thanks, not worth it.
Did you see, speaking of views, Iowa women's basketball did an outdoor game? Kind of copying the Nebraska volleyball game.
I did see that.
Can you even, and this, if it was men's basketball, I'd say the same thing. Can you even see at that point, you can't even tell if it's a made basket or not.
I did think it was weird that they put the floor on just one side. Because I feel like Nebraska, they put the field just in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and then they had fans fill up, kind of like a concert that fills up the field.
Right.
Where Iowa, they just had people in the actual stadium.
Yeah.
And Iowa plays on turf, so people going on the field isn't going to mess that up.
Sure. Yeah. Now, I have opinions about this, and I said this when Nebraska played, but I don't really know how much it's helping women's basketball. And what I mean is, we know that Iowa played, they broke a record, a lot of people game. Who did Iowa play?
I truly don't know.
I have no idea, because nobody tweeted about it. Everybody tweeted about, look how many people have gone to the game. I don't know who they played. I don't know whether it mattered.
I know Caitlin Clark. I honestly thought Caitlin Clark was in the WNBA, but apparently she's still at Iowa. So I learned that.
Interesting. Yeah, too young to go to the WNBA or something.
Why didn't she go to the WNBA? Do they have the same draft rules?
I don't know. I mean, again,
a lot of us talking about what we don't know on this podcast so far.
I would be willing to bet, because if you're like a third round NFL draft pick, you can make as much or maybe more money just doing NIL at this point, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Caitlin Clark is probably making more money on NIL than she would in the WNBA.
Yeah, because they, I mean, WNBA, they have to often go to Europe, like, to play in the offseason.
Right.
For money, so.
Yeah, just salaries are so.
And other than quarterbacks, like, on average, girls make more NIL money than men do.
Interesting.
And I think even including quarterbacks, like, the top paid athletes are, like, Shedeur Sanders, Caleb Williams. I think Livy Dunn might make more than both of them.
That one's.
But it's literally, like, all, or, like, the Cavender twins. Right. In Miami.
Yeah.
And even, like, ones that aren't, like, as famous as that, the top, like, 100, like, most of them are women.
Yeah, no, I feel like Caitlin Clark would be making a lot of NIL money.
Yeah.
But anyway, to the point, like, I feel like when they do these things, it's great. I think they should, I don't know, make it a, you know, a 14 tournament and have a trophy at the end. Or, like, tell us the score. Did Iowa win the game? You know, I feel like that's important, and I don't think it would be very hard.
Yeah, I'm assuming Nebraska won that volleyball game, but I guess I didn't see that. You just assume.
Yeah, no, you don't know.
Yeah.
Right, and nobody knows, right? Like, I don't know if Nebraska's good at volleyball, even.
Do you think, as far as women's sports, like, is there anything besides just time? Like, I think it's definitely bigger than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I think over time it's going to continue to get bigger, but I don't know what else to do other than that. You know, because some people aren't going to be interested in it, no matter what.
Yeah, I think there's that. I feel like there's a bigger.
This is not where I thought we were going to talk about.
Yeah, I just think with time, but I think people going to the games, I think, is the next big step, because the ratings wise for the NBA playoffs, for the Women's World Cups, they're getting really, really good ratings. But NWSL, the Women's Soccer League, a lot of those stadiums are struggling to sell tickets, right? WNBA games are struggling to sell tickets, which I think is a shame, because when I went, I did an internship with Real Salt Lake and got to go to a lot of the Royals games when we still had a team and we'll have a team next week. But you get a little bit better vision of the game, and I feel like you appreciate it better when you're actually there. Also true of men's sports, right? How you can see the whole field, you can see the whole play sort of developing together. So I think it's figuring out how are we getting people not just watching in TV, but how are we getting people into the stadiums?
Yeah, watching Patrick Peterson in person, watching Matt Stafford in person, it's just you don't grasp like what they're doing on TV. Like, you can say, oh, that's a crazy throw, but like watching Matt Stafford fit it into like windows like 18 yards down the field, like across two defenders, or like watching Patrick Peterson do what he did live, you're right, it does give you a different appreciation.
Yeah, 100%. like we played Seattle, and this would have been 5 years ago or so, and so Megan Rapinoe was on Seattle, and so I was like, oh, this is the best player in the world, and it was just immediately apparent.
Which is crazy, because you've talked about Megan Rapinoe how I talk about watching Messi play for Barcelona.
He was so good.
It just can't be the same thing, though. Like, Messi at Barcelona is, like, top one in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. I mean, I'm sure you had a much funner and more fun environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's obviously that. And so, I don't know. The thing I was just very, very impressed. And I don't know that we need to put it on a scale, like, comparing Messi to Megan Rapinoe. It's just, like, she was... I just had a joy watching her, and that's all I need.
Now, before we switch to college football, while we're on the subject of girls loosely, and this is a pretty poor transition, but we forgot the ick of the week.
Oh, we did forget the ick.
So we got to do that one.
Yes.
Are you ready for this week's ick?
I'm ready, as ready as I always am.
And again, this is things that girls have said that turns them off from guys.
Yeah, just on Instagram or reality TV shows, things like that.
Yeah. So this one... If your legs are dangling on a bar stool.
But, I mean...
I don't know the solution.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like, I've got a stool, like, that I sit on at work, and it's got a little kind of, you know, place where you put your feet. Because, obviously, if you're sitting on a bar stool, your feet touch the ground, you're in the NBA, right?
Yeah. Like, any bar stool, your feet are going to be not on the ground.
Yes. And so it's whether the bar has made a little place for your feet
on the stool. I'm not sure that would solve the problem, though, based on some of the people saying some of these things.
Based on that person, yeah. So that eliminates anybody under 6'9".
Yeah, there's some good ones coming up, too. I'm excited, so,
okay.
Boys, don't dangle your legs on a bar stool.
So don't sit on stools.
Don't sit on stools, I guess. Now, let's talk about college football, because last week, and we'll get into the picks, and we can talk about how crappy the NFL week was for us as well. But the Washington-Oregon game, it's one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. And the best game was the kick six game, for sure.
Yeah, that was great.
After that, I don't have, like, a list, but that was just, I was just dialed in. Awesome. Aggressive, going for it on fourth down, turnovers, big plays, everything you want in a game.
Yeah.
People at Oregon lost, obviously, missed field goal. Uh-huh. People are criticizing Dan Lanning because they were 0-for-3 on fourth down. And the two big ones, I think the biggest one especially was they went for a touchdown right before half on like the 8-yard line or 6-yard line or something.
Uh-huh.
And then with like a 1:40 left, 4th and 3 at like midfield, went for it on fourth down again. Now, the one before the half, obviously kicking the field goal is much safer, just take the points. Lanning said, you know, in that situation, that week in practice, they talked about they're going to come out. If Washington gave them the look they liked, they were going to run that play. If not, they were going to call a timeout and take the field goal. They got the look they wanted, so they ran the play. You know, that's not a decision Dan Lanning made Saturday afternoon. Something they made probably Monday or Tuesday,
yeah,
that decision. So I don't think I hate him. It bugs me when people confuse the process versus the execution. Like that fourth, Washington scored on two plays after that 4th and 3 at midfield when with like 1:50 or whatever left.
Uh-huh.
Like clearly putting them back 20 more yards or like on the 20-yard line maybe gives them an extra play. They had plenty of time to score. So you go and win the game. It's an execution question. Because if Oregon gets one of those, if Oregon makes the kick and wins in overtime, no one's talking about that. Right. Good decisions shouldn't be based off of the result. They should be based off of, was it a smart decision even if it didn't work out?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, having that happen 3 times, I think that that becomes like, well, like, we've been too aggressive. I certainly understand for one play, but I understand why people are upset this happened 3 times.
But how often, and I'll tell you the last time it happened in a sec here, but how often is it? Like, if I told you Oregon went for 3 fourth downs, like, what do you think they would get? Like, you would say, oh, they probably got 1 or 2 of those, probably, right?
Yeah, I would guess 1, yeah.
The odds of them getting 0 are pretty low, right?
I don't know, pretty low.
3 yards? Like, they weren't all 4th and 3, admittedly, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, I would need to know the yards, but I mean, I feel like 4th down conversion is less than 50%. Does that sound right?
I think it depends on the yardage.
Sure, yeah, it depends on the yardage, but it sounds like a lot of these were sort of far.
Well, I truly don't remember the first one, so this is my lack of preparation, and we kind of freeball this on purpose. The one on the goal line was, I think, 4th and 6.
Yeah, and the goal line, I feel like you could go for it on the goal line, 4th and 10.
That's the most inexcusable, not inexcusable, that's the one where people have the biggest problem, and I get that for sure. But again, like, they got the look they wanted, they just didn't execute. But they clearly felt good about the look that they were going to get as far as, you know, what their play call versus what defense Washington was in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time Oregon lost was against Oregon State to end the year last year. And that was a game, a wild game. Oregon State's quarterback could barely throw. Oregon State had a massive comeback. In that game, Oregon was 0-for-5 on fourth down.
That's a lot of...
That is a lot.
Missed fourth down.
But, and I'd have to go back and watch that game, but they get 1 or 2 of those, like, they stopped the bleeding, stopped the turnovers. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, when we were watching the Colorado game, Oregon went forward on fourth down, fake punts. They blew the doors off, and they're the most talked about team in the country that week. It's just going to happen. If you're going forward on fourth down, you're not going to get all of them. But that's Dan Lanning's process. That's how he believes in coaching. His players buy into it, obviously. And his players have his back. If you heard Bo Nix talking about it, they were all in on that. No one was like, oh, we should have kicked a field goal. You know, you're going to win and lose with that. So I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying the process was right, and I don't have a problem with any of those. Just because he gets one of those, it's a much different game. Oregon probably wins.
Yeah.
It sucks going 0-3, too, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, just as someone watching, I definitely want the coaches to go for it on fourth down, so I'm certainly not upset.
Yeah, and again, it made the game fantastic. This Amazon commercial where the guy's jumping in a pool and, like, has to shave his chest for that, what does that have to do with, like, the cherry chest or cold water?
Don't know.
Let me ask you this. So this is something I've been thinking about, and I still don't have a 100% answer. Right now, predict the four teams going to the college football playoff. It's tough.
Georgia, Michigan. I'm going to say Washington. I'll say Washington. And then, I mean, this one is I'm least sure about, which is obviously why I'm putting them fourth. I'm going to say Oklahoma.
Okay. So that means, and this is where it's tough, so I'm not disagreeing with you, but Florida State or North Carolina is going to get left out. The ACC champ's going to get left out.
Yes, because I think Oklahoma has an easier time going through the Big 12 than Florida State has going through the, I feel like one of these ACC schools is going to get them, or you have North Carolina with two losses, and then North Carolina beats Florida State in the ACC championship.
Yeah, North Carolina has a tough schedule because their last three games, I think it's Duke, Clemson. It's definitely Duke, Clemson, NC State. Clemson might be before Duke, but those are the games they're playing.
Yeah.
Let's check Florida State's schedule real quick. So they play Duke this week, who normally I'd feel good about, but Riley Leonard's still hurt. Florida State, their hardest game, Florida or Miami. So I think they got a good shot. So if they lose to Florida, here's the thing. Let's say Florida State goes undefeated but loses to North Carolina in the ACC championship. North Carolina slips up once or twice. Oklahoma and Texas both win out. Texas beats Oklahoma. Washington and Oregon both win out. Oregon beats Washington in the ACC championship, in the Pac-12 championship. That's an impossible scenario because you got both Texas and Oklahoma, arguably North Carolina, arguably Florida State. Both Oregon and Washington. And that's not, this isn't going to, I'm not even talking about the Big Ten because we both think Michigan's going to coast through that. Other people are talking about a Big Ten tiebreaker. I don't think there's any way Michigan loses to Penn State and Ohio State, but that is another wrench in the equation here.
Yeah.
I think this is the deepest we've been in the playoff era where there's been like 8 to 10 teams who could legitimately make it.
For sure. Yeah.
Because when I was thinking, I thought it was most likely, I would have predicted Georgia, although Alabama, let's keep an eye out, Michigan, probably Oklahoma, same thing. I think Oklahoma is still pissed off from that 49-0 game. I think if they see Texas again, there's not going to be a complacency problem. I think Oklahoma would be fine there. And Florida State, because I think it's as good as Washington is, as good as Oregon is, they're either one of them's going to beat each other again, or as bad as USC's tackling is, USC could beat them. Oregon State's a very good team, could knock one of them off. If Utah gets their quarterback back, which is a big if, they could, Utah could definitely beat one of them. I think the odds of both of them winning out is going to be tough.
Right.
But someone really good's going to get left out.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's, yeah, I just feel like with Washington, they look really good. I think this is the best a Pac-12 school has looked in a really long time.
Probably since Oregon in 2014.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, I'm, yeah, definitely, yeah, that's a huge question mark against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. But it does seem like, yeah, this is the year where I think they're going to be able to get through that Pac-12 gauntlet. But yeah, no, I don't know. And maybe that's just me liking North Carolina enough to beat Florida State, but not enough to go undefeated. But yeah, it's going to be tricky. And then, yeah, I didn't even say Alabama, but like, yeah, they're still Alabama. They're still going to have one of the best recruiting classes in the country, and they're just going to have such a good defense that, yeah, they could definitely get through the rest of the ACC undefeated. Or the SEC, excuse me.
Now, here's Washington's schedule. So, Arizona State, no problem. Stanford, no problem. I say that, and they'll probably lose one of those games. USC, I think Washington could score 80 on USC. Now, I do think USC is better than what they're being talked about. I think they were worse than what they were talked about before the Notre Dame game. I think they're better than what they're being talked about now.
Yeah.
But that being said, at the same time, they can't tackle. There's no way they're going to be able to cover Washington there. Utah, if Cam Rising's healthy, and that game's in about a month, that could be a big game. Also, Cam Rising's healthy, it's a big if. Oregon State in Corvallis, that's going to be tough.
Could be tricky, yeah.
And then they play, obviously, the Apple Cup against Washington State. That's in Seattle. You know, something weird could happen, though.
Yeah, rivalry games always weird, something can happen. The one of those that I'm most worried about is the Oregon State game. I know the Cam Rising, you know, is going to make Utah look a lot better. You just feel like that even with a backup quarterback, they'd be able to generate some offense. And it feels like they haven't generated any offense since Weber State.
Well, Bryson Barnes is horrible. Terrible. I've been on the record for that since his first appearance in the Rose Bowl. Nate Johnson, Utah, he's a highly recruited quarterback from Fresno area, Clovis. Legit track speed, 10.5 100 meter dash.
Yeah.
Like, legit track speed.
Really fast.
I've been surprised at how inefficient he was throwing the ball. That Oregon State game was terrible, was horrible. Like, I've been saying he should be playing over Cam Rising. I was clearly wrong. I just assumed he would have an average touch for, like, accuracy and ball placement and things like that. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because also Utah, I think they have 28 players who either were starters who have been out for the year or starters who have gone down to injury this year, mm-hmm. including Cam Rising, including Brant Keithy, who's going to be their number one tight end.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, you need tight ends. They really use those guys a lot, especially, you know, for a quarterback. If they're not going to be super accurate, I really like tight ends. I mean, that's just being a BYU fan growing up, you know, in the Bronco Mendenhall era. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I know that defense is giving them a ton of possessions every game and is giving them the ball on the 40, 30, 20 yard line sometimes.
It's got to be so frustrating being that defense.
You know, like, yeah, so it's just, I don't know that Cam Rising fixes that to the point that they beat Washington.
I don't either. And it's in Seattle, which is tough.
Yeah.
Seattle is a loud place. That's an awesome stadium. Here's the thing. I'm excited to watch Utah, USC, and to watch Utah, Washington, because even without Cam Rising, Utah's not going to win those games. But watching Utah's defense, which is awesome, Luther Ellis is leading the country in sacks, go against those offenses, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, those receivers. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
The other side of the ball might not be, but...
No, it's going to let us know a lot about Washington and Caleb Williams for sure.
Yeah. Because Oregon also plays Utah, USC, and Oregon State. Different order, obviously. I really want to go... Because the Oregon-Utah game is in Salt Lake. I really want to go to that. I say on paper that both Oregon and Washington should win out. But also, is USC going to finish 9-3? They can win one of those games. Like, Utah or Oregon State could pull off an upset. So... It could be a different team in the Pac-12 championship, but I would love an Oregon-Washington rematch.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And that really helps. If they both go undefeated, they're not both going to go undefeated. But I think having both of those in the championship gives them a really strong case to get into playoff whoever wins.
Yep. Now, I'm excited about the Penn State-Ohio State game is going to be great because that's the first like heavyweight matchup in the Big Ten we're going to see this year.
Uh-huh.
That actually leads in my picks for the week.
Alrighty.
You ready?
I'm set.
So the first one is Penn State +4.5. They never beat Ohio State, but they always play Ohio State very close. This is also the best Penn State team. I think this century, I would say. They're really good. I know they went to the Rose Bowl a few years ago. They've had good teams. Drew Aller's the best quarterback they've had in a really long time. I think Penn State's the most athletic team in the country, so I think they can keep it close. Next, Alabama, 8.5 against Tennessee. Do you know where Tennessee ranks in SEC in terms of passing yardage per game?
I want to say low.
12th.
Yeah, that's not good.
Josh Heupel's offense is predicated on explosive plays, and they just can't do it. Now, I will say the Texas A&M, they did a good job of playing physical, you know, stopping Texas A&M's front as well. Texas A&M played pretty poorly, but Alabama's been kind of hot. We kind of left Alabama for dead after the Texas loss, and then after the South Florida game was pretty terrible. Jalen Milroe's been playing better. Alabama's been playing better. I think there's a shot Alabama beats Georgia and goes to the playoff.
Now, that'd be... Because, I mean, Georgia hasn't looked as good as they did last year either.
No, and Brock Bowers is having tightrope surgery height on his ankle, yeah, which is what Tua had. So he'll probably be back for the SEC championship, but you're getting surgery. You never know.
For sure. Now, would you, in that situation, would you send Alabama and Georgia to the playoff?
The committee will. I think with all these other good teams we're talking about, though, like, I don't think you – let's say Alabama beats Georgia, so both teams have one loss. Alabama's definitely going. Mm-hmm. I would assume the committee would put Georgia in, but Georgia hasn't played anybody, will not have played anybody besides – the best team would have been Tennessee. We're just talking about isn't fantastic. How could you put him in over an Oklahoma or a Washington or a North Carolina who has the second-best quarterback in the country? You know?
Yeah, North Carolina in the college football playoff. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be awesome. Now, Georgia, here's the thing with Georgia. Their schedule's terrible. I am actually inclined to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they were scheduled to play Oklahoma. That game got nixed because Oklahoma's going to the SEC, so they weren't going to be able to complete the home-and-home. Uh-huh. So I don't want to say, oh, Georgia, you should punish them for not playing anybody. But at the same time, they haven't played anybody, and if they lose to the only top 25 team they play, I know they won the last two national championships, but it's 2023, you know?
Right.
So it's not fair to Oklahoma, or let's say Penn State beats Ohio State, loses to Michigan, has one loss. Not fair to Penn State either.
That's true.
Or same thing, Ohio State beats Penn State, loses to Michigan, not fair to them. That's true. Not fair to Oregon or Washington or Texas. Let's say Texas loses to beats Oklahoma. They beat Alabama. Either Texas or Oklahoma is getting left out. It's hard to leave Texas out for a team that beat Alabama who just beat Georgia.
Right.
But then Oklahoma gets hosed.
Yeah.
I don't think Georgia should get in.
Yeah. All that to say, the committee will definitely put them in, though.
100% Georgia is getting put in in that scenario, which is so dumb. And again, I'm giving Georgia the benefit of doubt. They tried to schedule Oklahoma. But at the same time, in the scenario we're talking about, we don't think Tennessee is going to lose to at least Alabama and Georgia. So they're probably not going to be in the top 25. So Alabama would be, unless, because Kentucky's not ranked. Florida actually could be ranked. But like they're going to have maybe one top 25 team win, and that win would be in the 20 to 25 range.
Yeah.
So and then you lose to the top 10 team in Alabama. You don't get a go. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
I think the committee is going to disagree with us. So, anyway, Alabama -8.5. Ole Miss -6.5 against Auburn. Auburn is below Tennessee in passing yardage. Auburn barely beat Cal, who is literally the worst game. We talked about the best games ever. The Cal-Auburn was probably the worst game I've ever seen in my life. So, yep. I am out on Auburn.
That doesn't shock me.
Clemson -3 against Miami. Now, I still think Miami's a really good team, but I also think Clemson's good. It's in Death Valley. I think Clemson's going to be playing better than they have. Miami's just lost two games in a row to North Carolina. And, again, I think Miami's a good team, but I like Clemson to win that game. And then Michigan -24.5 against Michigan State. I kind of think I'll just pick Michigan no matter what the spread is. Because they won by 45 last week against Indiana. And Michigan State is really, like, they fired Mel Tucker. Players are transferring out. Like, it's just kind of a dumpster fire there right now.
Yeah. That makes sense. And you're really into Michigan, so.
They're really good. And I also think, because when Jim Harbaugh got there, they had a hard time beating Michigan. I think they're going to be ready to go for that game.
Yeah.
So I think Michigan wins easy there.
There you go.
So those are my picks. Now, we are 16-17-2 on the year. Had another 500 record last week. So really hoping to get over 500 or at least at 500. So we'll see what happens. But those are the picks.
I believe it. Yeah, I'll take. You know, that's close enough to 500 that I think we can trust you.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there, yeah. Knocking on the door. Okay, well, and that actually has to do with the top five, because last week we were talking about how great Oklahoma, Texas is. We just talked about Oregon and Washington, what Dave Shaw called the nastiest rivalry in the top 12, in the Pac-12, excuse me. And this week we got the third Saturday in October, Tennessee, Alabama. So we were talking about, and top five is best mid-season rivalries in the country.
Mid-season rivalries.
So not in state, not end of the year. And I'm also, I mean, technically Iowa State is mid-season because they play the second week of the year, but they didn't make the list. I didn't put Utah BYU on there because I count that as an end of season rivalry.
For sure, yeah.
So this is games that are played every year, middle of the year. And I forgot one. So I had Miami, Florida State number five, but I'm actually going to flip that. But here's the thing. If both those teams are great, it's awesome. But those teams haven't been that great recently.
Yeah.
So we'll say 5B is okay. Miami, Florida State.
I'll take that.
5A is Auburn, Georgia. The oldest, deep south, oldest rivalry in the deep south or whatever.
You do love Auburn, Georgia.
It's a fun game. It should be played in November. It's a travesty that it's played in September or October, whenever they played it. Awesome game, Auburn, Georgia. It'd also help if Auburn was a little bit better. Number four, and the only reason this isn't higher, because it's kind of one-sided. It's USC Notre Dame. I was talking to people from USC and close to the USC program, and it's really not as big of a game for them as it is for Notre Dame. Like, I didn't even realize it was that big of a game until I went to Notre Dame, you know, hung out around there, or even just listened to people like Mike Golick, who played at Notre Dame, or Mike Golick Jr., I mean,
right.
Talk about that. But that being said, two blue bloods from Indiana and California, two of the biggest programs in college football history.
Who is USC to not be into the Notre Dame game? Like, what have they done in the last 15 years?
I think they just think they have better weather. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you.
That's crazy. Like, that's obviously the best opponent they play every year.
Well, especially because UCLA is not exactly top notch.
Right, yeah. So, like, who else are they? Like, I mean, you don't want to, it's them or Stanford.
I think USC Stanford is awesome when Stanford isn't the worst team in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Like right now where they're the worst team in the country.
Yeah. Did you see Stanford obviously beat Colorado? Did you see Dion's speech after that?
No, I didn't.
So he was basically just like, that was pathetic. Like, so he went on for like 30 seconds about that. And then he got off the stage and he's like, we're practicing tomorrow, by the way. I bet that practice sucked.
Yeah, I'm sure he was not happy.
But anyway, USC Notre Dame number four. Number three is Oregon, Washington. These next three are going to be ones we were talking about.
Yeah.
Two's Texas, Oklahoma. One, I put Bama, Tennessee. I think Alabama, Tennessee is the best rivalry in college football. Texas, Oklahoma might be a close number two.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be told that's number one. I think Oregon, Washington is a good third, but a third behind those two games.
It's very clearly behind those ones. I think that, I don't know. I would probably say around the country, people are more into Texas, Oklahoma than Tennessee, Alabama. But I think Tennessee, Alabama, people probably hate each other more, which is kind of crazy to say.
Yeah, because Texas, OU really don't like each other.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, Alabama is like a real hatred.
Yeah, that, like, absolutely.
Runs like historically deep. Like, but all, yeah, honestly, if you said Texas, Oklahoma is number one, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
For sure. But I think, and that's what's crazy when, like, Henry Toa transferred from Tennessee to Alabama. Like, it's like, how pathetic is it for Tennessee that their players transferring to Alabama? Like, because they'd beaten them, I think, 15 years in a row before Tennessee won last year.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was glad Tennessee won just because I wanted that rivalry to be intense again.
Something, yeah. You know? That's probably why people around the country don't care about it as much, is just because Tennessee's had a lot of really bad years.
People our age or younger, the best Tennessee has been was last year. Uh-huh. But, like, we didn't remember Peyton Manning in college or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I didn't even realize Tennessee was good for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's sad, though, because historically, and those two, Georgia's tied Tennessee now, but until last year, Tennessee had the second most SEC titles, and Georgia had the, or Alabama had the most.
Yeah.
Like, those were the two top SEC teams.
For sure.
Better than Georgia, better than Auburn, better than Florida, is Tennessee and Alabama.
Yeah. Now, may I give two honorable mentions?
Absolutely.
Now, this one I don't think is as relevant as it was about 5 years ago, but Clemson, NC State.
It's kind of a funny one.
It's kind of funny. Well, like, I just feel like I always looked for that game, being like, is NC State going to screw up Clemson's chance of the playoff this year? Okay. So I enjoyed it. I don't know how much those schools hate each other, but it was a game that I always looked forward to. And then the other one, definitely hatred is real. This one's a real rivalry. It doesn't get played anymore, which is why I don't think it would deserve to be in the top five. But BYU-Wyoming.
Wyoming hates us.
Yeah. I was talking to... our bishop, our leader in our church, who played football for BYU, and he was saying the two hardest environments are for Utah people going into BYU, or BYU going into Utah. But he said that as a BYU player going into Wyoming was about 10 times worse than actually going into Utah.
Did he say why, other than they're really mean and drunk and...
Yeah, I mean, that was the gist of it. those weren't his words, but yeah, just that, like, as far as the yelling and the vitriol and being like, oh yeah, they really don't like us here.
Yeah, Wyoming, and that's what, like, I mean, I don't like Wyoming, but I don't hate them, but they hate us.
Yes, which I'd love to know the background of, because really the only historical significance are those the nine black players who wanted to wear a black armband against BYU and got kicked off the team. So I understand why maybe the players would hate BYU. I don't necessarily understand why the fans would.
Well, the fan base isn't the most diverse fan base in the country.
That's true.
BYU's not either, to be fair.
Which I feel like would, you know, support my point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's just a justification for them.
I get, because
they're not exactly, you know, marching in the streets or anything. You know what I mean? Wyoming's not the most progressive place in the world. I think just any justification.
Yeah, so, I don't know. But yeah, that's a, I kind of wish that game would come back.
I saw somebody, you know, it's another good game that's not played, but Nebraska-Colorado, if that was still played, that might have been on the list.
That's another one for
love
sure.
Love that one. Oh, actually, that was end of season rivalry, so never mind. That was last game of the year when they were both in the Big 12.
That was the last season.
I saw somebody say, and this was when, I think maybe, it was a game in, I think, something about, some there was a Wyoming game, and I don't think it was a Texas Tech game, but it was another, like, Wyoming home game. Somebody said Laramie was the best college town in the country, and my only thought was, you've either never been to Laramie, or you've never been anywhere else.
Yeah,
because there's no way you can think that.
I'm sure the campus is great. I'm sure it's a great place to go to football games.
We've seen the campus. It's not that great.
Well, I don't know. I could see a certain type of kid. Elder McDonald loved it, but...
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad, but if you've been to any other college, and like the stadium, it's intense and it's loud. It's also just two aluminum bleachers.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're literally just bleachers.
Right. Yeah.
Like, think of everywhere we've been, and we've been to a lot of colleges, can you think of one that's worse?
I guess when you put it like that. No, I can't.
Like, any college town we've been to a lot of them.
We have been to, like more than 75, would you say?
Yeah, I'd have to count, but so we've been to, like, 10 of the Pac-12 ones. At least I have.
Yeah.
Good chunk of the SEC ones.
Good chunk of the SEC.
Good chunk of the ACC.
Couple of, uh-huh.
A lot of the Mountain West ones, too, which includes Wyoming in that.
Yeah, a ton of Mountain West, yeah. Not a lot of Big 12, weirdly enough.
I know, I was trying to think, like, we've been to Kansas... Is that the only Big 12 school we've been to?
Yeah, because we didn't go to Texas. I've been to Baylor. I've been to Rice.
Wait, you went to Baylor?
Uh-huh.
Where were you in Waco?
Oh, wait, no. I was at the Baylor Medical School.
Oh, okay.
Houston, which is technically Baylor, but not really the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
But definitely Rice.
But yeah, wouldn't you rather be at Rice as a college town, quote unquote, than Laramie?
Yeah.
I know Houston's not a college town, but...
Yeah. I mean, we didn't mean to turn this into the Back Wyoming podcast.
We've talked about how crappy Laramie is, how to solve women's sports.
Which we did not come to a solution to.
And I don't even remember what else we've talked about. We talked kind of went all... I told you, I did warn you, though, I'd say we'd be wandering back and forth.
Yeah, wandering
throughout the show. It's been fun, though, and I always keep forgetting to do this at the beginning, because just, I trust you guys, but feel free to leave a 5-star review if you haven't done so yet, leave a comment, all that good stuff. A lot of awesome games, Utah, USC, Ohio State, Penn State, I guess those are the two big ones. No, what was the big one we were talking about? Alabama, Tennessee, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Best rivalry, most intense rivalry, at least what should be the most intense rivalry in the country. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.